Hi, welcome to When the Kids Go Down. Listen, forgive me, you may not have this audio on time. I hope you have it though, because I don't know what you're gonna hear. I'm trying to record on our big like gaming desktop, directly instead of like directly from my phone to just try something out and see how it's working. I like using my phone because I feel like I can measure it better, and I don't know, but this way I wouldn't have to use Dropbox. Although I probably still will, so that I have all my files together. I am a little nervous though, because I just haven't used the direct line to the computer in a while, because I like my laptop has not been working. Can you imagine? Because my laptop would only work if it was plugged in, because there was no battery before it crapped out. So if I had moved, or if it came unplugged or something, then it's just everything that I was doing would be gone. So that's happened before, where I've recorded like 45 minutes and then something dies, like one of the devices dies and it's deleted. Or I've accidentally deleted it because I was deleting files. That happened like way back. So I'm just a little nervous. I don't know. I miss my laptop desperately. How do I pause this? Okay, so I just listened back to that audio and I don't know where to hold the fucking mic because I'm not talking loud. I'm like regular talking, or even like I just calm talk. And my mic is like a foot away from me, and I still feel like I'm like, so I don't, you know what I mean? Like I feel like one of the adults from Charlie Brown. Anyway, happy Halloween. Welcome again to When the Kids Go Down. Sorry. I feel like I'm just rambling on. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode. I don't remember. Oh, it's the weekly report. So we are a day, it's a day before Halloween when this episode comes out, and the vibes are pretty spooky. I don't know. They're not as spooky as they were last year. I remember like taking Mika, my head is not facing the mic, so I hope you heard that. I remember taking him like out for walks, and there was a particularly like scary house, and it's not decorated this year, and the same people live there, and like the decorations were like all out, so I don't know, maybe something happened. Where are the decorations this year? I've been seeing like some of the same people have the same decorations, but they are like they were a lot later this year. They were like, and you know what? I'm one of those people because I don't have our cat out, which is named Felix. Every black cat that we see, and this started when Mika was like 2. I just told him like that the cat's name was Felix, and so a black cat. And so every black cat name is Felix, which is really sweet because he's like starting to name objects, like give them name and identities and personalities. And we have all these mini pumpkins, and he named them Spooky, Felix, and I forgot the other one. I think he had me name it, and then he didn't like what I named. I think we named it Soup, to be honest, but. Yeah, so he's been like naming things, and Felix is one of the first names that comes to mind. Guess what? I have not been reading. I am in the biggest reading slump. So I was gonna start reading like, or I did start reading Vampires, La Donote, and I just like couldn't. I don't know. And I thought like, oh, I shampooed the couch, which was like a whole 3 day thing. And I think seasonal depression is trying to like knock knock at the door pretty early here. I don't know what's happening. So I was like, I'm gonna shampoo the couch with typically I love. And I just like shampoo the couch with headphones on, noise canceling. And then the boys like play with the cushions and it's like it's a blast, you know? And then I just haven't, like, it felt like a disaster to do. I felt like I was trying to like shampoo the couch in a toy mess, and it wasn't even that bad. Or like the toys would get picked up and they're put back down. I don't know what it was. Maybe, sorry, I need to burp. Maybe it was like the floors were bothering me. Like I wanted to mop, you know, even though it's been pretty, so they've been pretty good. Like I feel like they just had like marker on them. Like the boys found some Expo markers and started to like, well, the littlest one was like coloring on the floor. I don't know why, if that was like bothering me because it was like a dark contrast to the tile. You know what I mean? And I was just like mop it up because I had to mop. And then I've been like I don't know what it is. But like, for some reason, I just like couldn't get this couch done. And I typically like to get a project like that, like shampooing the carpets or the couch or like something that's going to like, you know, take an amount of time, like gardening. And I put on headphones and then I listen to a book or something and I get lost into it. And then it's like a whole fun task. I just haven't been able to do that. Like, I was like, so like, I was like checking my phone every 5 minutes and for nothing. Like every time I would like pick up my phone and like, I'd start to like, I don't know, like doom scroll for like 2 seconds. Do you guys know? It's like an addiction. And I'm like, what am I doing? And I'd be like, none of this is like, I think I was just like craving human interaction. Like, I was just like, maybe someone is going to post a video that's going to feel like a podcast and I can just listen to them. And like, I'm like hoping to find like my next favorite, like comfort creator or something. And I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like I'm just craving like human connection and I'm trying to, maybe, I don't know, maybe I need noise outside and maybe I need to work on what's going on inside. Cause that's what I feel like the times where I'm craving most, like, to hear other people's stories, or when I don't want to be in my own head. And it's not necessarily like my thoughts, because I feel like every time I've had a really good like pattern of, oh, okay, like instead of just like cycling or spiraling into these negative thoughts, I have been really like, well, I've adjusted really well to like stop the thought and be like, that's not true, or like have like direct evidence in my like back pocket to why it's not true, and like self comfort or soothe, or not soothe, but what is the word I'm looking for? Like, I've been pretty like, I've just been able to like get my own back. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like self-assured, I guess. I've been doing well at being self-assured. And for some reason, I think I'm just like, I don't know. I'm like, I think that whenever I don't want to do the work, I'm just like, who can comfort me? You know what I mean? So, or maybe I'm like, no, I can't be feeling sad. I've already fixed that, you know? So who knows? Who knows what's going on? Probably me, but I'm like avoiding it for some reason, because maybe I just don't want to feel like seasonally depressed, or like I'm trying to gaslight myself into thinking like it's not going to happen this year. But instead of like going outside for a walk, I'm just like ignoring it. And I'm not doing the things that I love, which is like reading, you know, I'm not like listening to any audiobooks. And I did pick up like a physical copy of The Haunting of Hill House because I thought like, let's read a spooky book. Cause I haven't read much, you know, and, I'm trying to like get myself out of this slump. And I just like couldn't do it. So stupid. I don't know what's going on. I'm like 10 books behind from my yearly goal or something. And I keep wanting to read my comfort books. Like, I keep trying, like, I'm like, oh, the weather's cold. I'm going to read Catcher in the Rye, or I'm going to like pick up Perks of Being a Wallflower. And I do read There's No Such Thing as Bad Weather. It's a parenting book, like every year around this time to like get myself motivated to take the kids out. Cause I do remember like at one, which I love going outside. It's just like the hassle of getting ready. And this is something that I've said every single fucking year to myself, is like, I need to get a bench or like a hanging wardrobe that I can like, you know, that's like in my room, like a little hanging wardrobe with like 2-tier benches where I can have shoes for all of us, our winter wear, and like what I'm going to wear, my athleisure wear, so I can have it ready to go and then go outside. Because I am someone who like, when I wake up, I have to shower before anything. And even if I'm like going to shower later from like working out, I have to shower first thing in the morning. And sometimes I don't wash my hair. Most of the time I don't wash my hair until later because it gets like sweaty or whatever. But I have to. I have to. And then if I don't have my clothes ready, if I have to look for it and it's like cold, I don't want to get out of the shower because I'm freezing. And I don't know. And then we have like a heater in the shower, like, or in the shower. Well, it's right outside the shower and I never use it. And I used it the other day and I was like, wow, this is actually like life changing. Cause when I get out of the shower, it's not cold. It's warm, and it's just like in this section. And when I would like put my feet down on the tile, it's actually like feeling warmer. So I'm like an idiot for never using that, because I would take forever in the shower and not want to get out, whatever. But I just need somewhere to like put our clothes. And I'm trying to figure out what I like have to get because of hand-me-downs. And I know that I don't have any hand-me-downs for my oldest. So I'm gonna have to like figure out what I want to purchase, like go out and like buy, and what I'm like, maybe I can thrift this. But the weather like snuck up this year. Like it went from like 80 literally to like 30. So I have to figure out what to do. I know that like when we go on our walks, cotton absorbs the cold air, like it, humid, like water, you know? So it makes you just feel cold or stay cold. Like right now, my feet are fucking freezing and I've got like two pairs of socks on, but they're cotton and they're not like, my feet are just cold inside of them. You know what I mean? They'd be colder without them for sure, but like they're not doing, I feel like they're going to fall off. So, getting like a polyester, just anything that's not cotton. So like obviously bamboo is like the best, but if I can't find it, or if I don't want to spend the money on it, or wool, I do like Bombas socks. I like their wool socks and they've held up. We've had them, like we've had a pair that are technically supposed to only fit to like, I think I bought like the 2-3T size, and they've lasted. Like they have lasted to my 4-year-olds. Like they, you know, I don't know if it's the wool stretching or what, they work. And so my littlest one wears them still, and my older one wears them. They're just Bombas wool socks, and I love them. I also love like that they collabed, or I don't know if they still do, or if it's like a thing they do ongoing, or if it's just one time, with Sesame Street, and I just love Sesame Street stuff. So really cute. But anyway, I put them in a base layer of like wool, depending on how cold it is, of course, bamboo, rayon, some polyester or something, no cotton. And then I'll put like fleece over that, and then we're good to go. In a hat, and like so maybe something like to cover their face more, like one of those, I don't know, balaclavas, is that what they're called? And then mittens or something. So for sure, I think I can thrift mittens pretty easily. And I don't know what I can do as far as like the not finding cotton, because cotton's like super popular, or at least cotton blends. And I'm trying to find like, I don't know, we'll see. So I did just drive past earlier when I was getting my coffee this morning. I drove past like a big garage sale. I love garage sale. And I just like people's stuff, you know? I don't know. And then you can tell which people like to care their stuff. I did go to this garage sale from like a couple old ladies, and they had some cool stuff. A lot of churchy stuff though. But anyway, they were like expensive. Like they were like trying to sell Steve Maddens that were worn and used for like $30. And I'm like, that's a Depop sell. You know what I mean? Like you're at a garage sale, I'm expecting things to be like $10 maybe. I don't know. It was just like a little pricey. And then they would also have like a menorah for some reason, and that was just like $10. And so I'm like, it would be like 15. You know what I mean? So I'm like, your prices are all over the place. And then they would have a table, like they had a coffee table that was like $15, and it was like solid oak. And I'm like, I don't think you understand like a garage sale. So anyway, garage sale problems. Hopefully we can find like their thrifted winter stuff or whatever. Okay, I think that's all the housekeeping that I have. So happy Halloween. I'm gonna get into today's episode, which is not spooky, but it is Halloween themed. Today I'm gonna be talking about I'm gonna rank my favorite Bob's Burgers Halloween episodes. So if you don't know, I love Bob's Burgers. I've been obsessed since it started airing. It's one of those shows that like my husband and I started watching together, and then just became like one of our shows. And then, I mean, it's a cult classic, you know. It has like a very like, just, I don't want to say distinct, it's a nerdy following, and I love it. And everyone, it's so funny, and I feel like a lot of us girls can relate to Tina Belcher being awkward and boy crazy and just not really understanding how to express yourself, but doing it awkwardly yet confidently as like a weird teenager. She's a very weird girl, and I love it so much. And and who doesn't love Louise? And then Jean is so sweet. Like, these kids are awesome. Their parents are awesome. And so it's just like a really fun show. I don't have to tell you, everyone knows. And then I was able to, like, I don't know, when you find someone who like loves Bob's Burgers the same way you do, it's like an instant connection, and then it's a lot of fun. So I have, I love Halloween. I love their episodes for Halloween. And I love how they always like try to, like, there's like certain movies, you know, that they draw inspiration from, not just for Halloween, but like for a lot of the other episodes as well. There's a lot of, what do you call it? Like, referencing to, oh my gosh, just movies and TV and people, pop culture references, lots of pop culture references. So I have ranked out my favorite Halloween Bob Burgers episodes, and I'm going to pull up that doc. And then I didn't watch the latest one. So I haven't watched the latest one. And then I also didn't include the spooky one from the writer's strike that technically, like, I don't think it was Halloween, but it was like spooky themed. But we'll talk about it. I just didn't include it on my list. I don't even know if I've seen it, to be honest. Don't know. Okay, so coming at my... I'm going to do it like... Oh, should I do it from the other way up or down? Okay, maybe... I was going to do my favorite one first, but maybe I'll just like count down to that and then do my last one first. Okay, so my last one is the latest one, For Whom the Doll Tolls... It is For Whom the Doll Tolls. So it's the one where Louise is like telling a story through dolls, and they're pretty like intense and gory. And I don't really remember paying like a lot of attention during that episode, and it just didn't like capture my attention. So I didn't really like include, or sorry, I didn't. Yeah, it's on the bottom of my list because I just wasn't, like, that into it. But in that episode, Louise, like, has something that she, like, is feeling awkward saying, that she has, like, guilt over. So she stages this murder mystery in a creepy old, like, dollhouse store and gathers, like, her whole family and the dollhouse store owner to watch her tell the story and untangle all these dolls and do, a whole murder mystery with them. And then she has them, like, kind of, you know, find out like clue, like who did it. So I just, I don't know, good episode, not my favorite though. And then we have, let's see, my docs are everywhere, so many tabs open. Okay, and then I have Nightmare on Ocean Avenue Street. So this is the one, this is season 9, episode 4. So this one was released in 2018, and it is the one where their candy is getting stolen. So like the kids are out trick-or-treating with all their friends, and someone keeps stealing their candy. So they'll like turn around or, you know, be facing somewhere else, and then their candy disappears. And so they kind of like are out trying to get each other's back and figure out like who's taking their candy, and also like make sure that no one else's candy gets stolen. And I think this one ends up being like Dr. Yap, the dentist, and he's dressed up like a kid. I don't know, that character is so funny. Who is he voiced by? Let's find out. Dr. Yap. It's Ken Jeong from Community and the fucking Vegas movie. What is it called? I don't know. Okay, Ken Jeong from The Hangover. We all know The Hangover. I don't know why. I don't remember. Or I didn't remember what it was called. Okay. And I knew who it was. Maybe I'm just like feeling anxious because I'm getting this episode out later than I want to. Okay, so then we have Heartbreak Hotel, season 11, episode 4, 2020. So in this episode, there's this hotel, I don't know, I'm trying to remember like by memory, but they go to it and they have like this seance with this old lady, and she wanted burgers to like get her lover to like come visit her or her husband or something. I think I have like them pulled up so I can just read to you the synopsis that's already written out. Okay, so Heartbreak Hotel, sorry, thank you. Okay, Louise is out for Halloween candy justice after being stifled in the candy department by one particular house. She has a plan and a snail costume made by Linda to steal the entire house's bowl of candy. But the plan gets put on hold. Much to Tina's relief, I think Tina was feeling anxious about doing that, when the kids are sent by Bob to deliver an order to a mysterious woman attempting to conjure a spirit in a hotel room. Oh, yeah, that's right. Meanwhile, Teddy and Linda convince typically squeamish Bob to donate blood. Oh, I do love this one. At a vampire-themed blood donation truck, since he is a universal donor. And then he's like, he gets like kind of loopy, and I think he gives more blood than he was supposed to. And he's just like all over the place. And then the seance part was like, it's a family show, you know, it's not, but also like it's a little adult and I'm a baby. So like this vibes are a little bit more spookier in this episode. Well, my favorite episodes are the ones that like kind of spooked me, you know, which I'm not that hard to spook. I can get spooked pretty easily. So next on the list is Fortnite. Fortnite with guest star MZ Sansari. Not spooky, but cute. And I think this is their first one. Yeah, so no, it's their second one. So Fortnite from season 4, 2013. This one just was very cozy to me. And it's like, even though I hate the character, what is her name? Her name. It's the character who like is the kids are like trapped in this fort. They make a fort to hang out in. They've been hanging out there. And then Aziz Ansari's character like comes to see their fort, and then he's like, he's such a cute kid too. He's like kind of nerdy and stuff. And so, well, he is very nerdy. I don't know why I said kinda. And then he goes to their fort before trick or treating, and they get locked in it. And this character, who's, like, obsessed with Louise, finds out, and instead of, like, I guess Louise, like, hurts her feelings, so instead of letting them out, she just, like, keeps them locked in there. And to me, it's not spooky. It's just, like, really cozy. It reminds me of, like, you know, it's their second Halloween episode, and it just reminds me of, like, the time in which I was watching it, and so it's very cozy to me. So the Belcher kids, along with their friend Daryl, which is Aziz Ansari's character, and Andy and Ollie Pesto, which is the, oh my god, Silver, what is her name? Silver. That's all I can think of right now. Fuck. I am not doing great with the names today. I know an A, I know it starts with an A. Sarah Silverman, not an A, and Laura Silverman, her sister. Are Andy and Ollie. Okay, so back to the episode. Where's my... Okay, there it is. All right. Spend Halloween night trapped in their makeshift two-story cardboard fort in the restaurant's back alley. Lucky for them, Millie. Millie's the kitten name of the kid. A student from Wagstaff who's completely obsessed with Louise hears their cries for help. She's going to rescue them and not leave them stranded in the fort in the alley. Oh, sorry. I'm reading this the way it's written. And so it said, right. Meanwhile, Bob and Linda are trying, they're making this dragon costume for the kids who all wanted to like get, they're like all going to stack under this dragon so that they can like get more candy or something. They're going to hold out more buckets or I don't know. They're trying to like trick people into giving them more candy by being like this huge dragon thing, making them think that there's like a ton of kids inside of it. So Linda is like late, which is same. I'm also late on my kids' Halloween costume that I'm making. And it's so funny because I think they were like spray painting the eyeballs inside of the, I don't know if they were doing it inside of the fort and it made one of them like pass out or something. But I was also painting the eyeballs to the tiger that I'm making for my kiddo's Halloween costume. And so I just thought that was funny. Anyway, I love this episode because of the comfort from it. And so next on my list is The Wolf of Wharf Street from season 8, episode 3, 2017. So in this one, Bob like hurts his back or his leg, or he breaks something. I think he broke his foot, his leg. And then he's in a cast. He has to take pain meds, and the kids are going to go out trick-or-treating. But I think there's like some animal from a wolf. Is it a wolf? There's an animal out from the petting. No, hold on. It's from the zoo, or it's like the fish odors. They have like an animal that got loose. And so the town is like, you can't go trick-or-treating right now. And the kids still want to go. So Linda decides to take them out. And Teddy stays with Bob so that he can like give him his pain meds and make sure that he's not taking too many. He's not like all loopy or being dangerous or whatever, which of course he does. And he is. And the kids are like having like no luck with trick-or-treating. And so they kind of like, not trick, but bully Linda into like being a cool mom or cooler and like having them go and look for the missing, is it a wolf? So a wolf is terrorizing the town, and Linda Belcher is there to prove that she is still fun Halloween mom by taking the kids out to get, get a picture of it. Although pretty sure she's getting lost in the woods with the rabid wolf running around. So meanwhile, Bob's at home with pain meds and a broken leg, and Teddy dressed up as a nurse. Okay, so that's another thing. Teddy dressed up as a nurse, and Teddy secretly the... Wait, hold on. He... Why is there a bite? I think, like, okay, so... Bob, like, convinces himself that Teddy is a werewolf and that he's going to, like, attack him because of his pain meds. And then Teddy's, like, acting Teddy, and he's being, like, erratic. He's just, like, the kind of character to, like, you know, have a bucket fall on his head and then trip and break something and then cause a fire or something. So that... doesn't happen, but like, you know, all this stuff starts escalating back at the house, and then Linda takes the kids out to trick-or-treat. There's no luck, and then they're like, let's go look for this wolf, and then she actually ends up getting like spooked, and she's such a cute, funny mom. And then I love their dynamic with all the kids. And then they do end up finding like this wolf because it was from the fish odors that were like, it got lost or something, and it was their actual pet. So there's that one. And then after that, I have The Pumpkining. So this one's super cute. It's season 5, episode 2, 2014. So in this one, we follow Linda and her sister Gail, Iconic. And they're going back to their hometown. So Linda and Gail set off to a trip to their hometown to right a wrong from their high school years after Linda receives a mysterious note. Meanwhile, Bob's Burgers has become the hotspot for trick-or-treating on Halloween due to Bob stocking up on a candy favorite. However, the Belcher kids are worried that there won't be leftovers for them when they're done trick-or-treating. Speaking of children, I have one looking for me right now. This is an episode filled with spoilers, by the way. So Linda and Gail go back because they fucked up the Halloween pumpkin carving contest in their high school long ago. They like ended up turning one in late, I think, and then they dropped a bunch of them, and then they won, or Gail won, or Linda won the prize or something because theirs was like not ruined. Gail always makes me laugh, and I just love her and Linda's like I like sisters are funny because they like bully each other, so I really like them going back to their hometown. And then I like to look at their hometown. It feels like I'm getting to know these characters a little bit more, and I love that. So I don't know, this episode, and this episode got a little, it's not spooky. It just does feel like, I don't know, they are really good storytellers. This, I forgot what I was saying. The writing, it's so well told that even though it's silly, you do feel like you're being told a spooky story, you know, like you're watching a spooky story, but it's a little silly. And it just like, it's also comforting. I really just enjoy the show. So after The Pumpkining, we have Tina and the Real Ghost. So they're chilling at the restaurant. Oh, sorry. This is season 5, episode 2, 2014. Okay, so Tina, like, they're all chilling at the restaurant, and then a pair of ghost hunters come in to, like, have lunch, and then they're like, oh, the vibes are off. And so they, like, start telling them that they have, like, an entity in their house or a ghost or whatever, and that they're ghost hunters, and they, like, get into Linda's head because, of course. And so she, like, does a seance with the kids down in the basement to, like, capture this ghost. And then Louise is, like, messing with Tina, so they have a Ouija board. And Louise convinces Tina that the ghost is, like, a 13-year-old boy. And then they capture it in the shoebox. Tina starts a relationship with the shoebox ghost and then takes it to school. And then Tammy, the little, like, snarky, mean girlish character in their group, like, steals her fake boyfriend. And the entire time, like, Tina kind of knows that it was Louise messing with her. But, you know, Tina's just, she's just a girl with crushes. So she, like, yes, they, like, fight over this invisible box toy, and then box boy, and then, meanwhile, like, they're both actually, like, going on dates. Like, so before Tammy steals the boyfriend, Tina is, which Tammy, I also forget her name, but, she plays in Parks and Rec. She's, like, the sister of Unzi's and Zari's best friend. I forget her name, I'm sorry, and I'm not gonna look it up right now, so... Anyway, Tina's, like, full-on taking this box on dates, and then to school, and that's when Tammy, like, steals them by, like, writing on the in lipstick or something on the wall in the bathroom saying, like, it's over, Tina, like, I'm with Tammy now. And then they start hanging out, and then all the kids are, like, going to a graveyard, like, on Halloween night because they're, like, big teenagers now. And then this whole – Tina, like, stages this whole, like – haunting to scare Tammy into giving her, like, her boy box boyfriend back. And then, yeah, actual, like, it's like cool and funny, and I don't know, stuff escalates, and then it gets spooky, and there's always, like, a lesson in these episodes, which is really nice. So the boy box thing, super funny and super relatable as a boy crazed, like, tween that I was. So then we have, let's see, Pig Trouble, another Tina-centric one. Pig Trouble in Little Tina, season 10, episode 4, 2019. So in this episode, and some of these I'm, like, actually reading what, like, happened, if I don't remember, like, an outline, or if I need to, like, remember what the other characters are doing. And then a lot, like, the last one, this is by heart. So in Pig Trouble, they're dissecting pigs, which I don't know if you've ever dissected a pig. I have. It's the worst. I don't think I've smelt anything more foul. Like, I would rather open tuna in a non-ventilated area than smell that again. And it is so sad. So I relate to Tina a lot in this episode. So Tina basically has to, like, they're dissecting these pigs. Is it, let me make sure I'm, like, getting this correct, or if I'm actually going from my own memory. So, oh, I don't know why I'm looking up colonial houses. Hello? Sorry, bear with me. Bear with me. I'm not cutting that out, because that's who I am. Okay. So, Pig Trouble. So Tina dreams are haunting her by the spirit of an ugly fetal pig. Oh, that's another thing. Her pig was, like, kind of ugly. Like, it had, like, a snaggle tooth, and I don't know. It was ugly, and so they were, like, making fun of it, and she also had to dissect it. And so it's just, like, a weird psychological thing that she was going through, because, like, they were making fun of this dead pig that she's, like, cutting open. So, yeah, okay, so some curly-tailed... Oh, yeah. So she's like Freddy. It's like Freddy Krueger inspired, right? So the ghost pig won't ruin this. It's a haunted hayride. She's been looking forward to as an opportunity to make to make out with Jimmy Jr. But she's, like, hallucinating and falling asleep. And so we're having all of these, like, hallucinative dreams during the hayride that she wants to go on so that she can make out with Jimmy Jr. for, like, the first time. And so relatable, just so relatable. And then, yeah, and it's so funny. And, like, yeah, okay, so I also had to dissect a pig. And the smell is terrible. And then, like, they're shipped to them in these buckets. And you just open this bucket of baby pigs that are dead. And they're, like, you know, I don't know what they're in. Formaldehyde, is that correct? I don't know. But they're in this, like, goop to, like, keep them not decayed. And it's just, it's bad. So I understand. I understand, Tina. I understand wanting to make out with your crush as a tween. I understand having not being able to sleep because you're haunted by, you're bullying this dead pig that you have to dissect. So relatable. And also, this episode gets spooky. Like, this episode actually does feel like a fever dream, and it does get a pretty spooky vibe. So love that episode. And then we have Teen a Witch. So another, just Tina's the best, dude. Teen a Witch, which is season 7, episode 3, 2016. So Tina has this costume, and she says what she's going to be, which is a hot mess. So she's going to be dressed as, like, a hot mess, like a literal, like, mess of a person. I don't know. And then they're discussing what they're going to be out on, like, the crosswalk for school. Tammy's there, and Tammy's like, that's so funny because I'm going to be a hot mess. And so she steals her costume. Now Tina's, like, struggling to think of, like, what to be for Halloween. And one of my favorite characters, Mr. Ambrose, the librarian, she's like, I don't know what I'm going to be. And, like, he's like, read this book about witches. So she decides not only to be a witch for Halloween, which I think she's going to be a sand witch or something. It's, I don't know. I'm trying to think. But she, like, ends up becoming, like, a witch, you know, like, she's, like, doing seances and, like, reading about witches, and just, like, she completely shifts her personality to be, like, more confident. And again, another, she's just such a relatable queen. So last time, am I thinking of the right one? We had a Tina Central Halloween episode. Tammy had stolen. Oh, yeah. This time Tammy is at it again, steals Tina's hot mess costume idea that she hopes will win her first place in the Wagstaff annual Halloween costume contest. So Tina turns to probably the one adult at Wagstaff she should not be going to for advice, the librarian, Mr. Ambrose. He leads her to a book on witchcraft, which Tina then uses to her advantage. And she does, like, I think she, like, burns through the book and does every single spell. But if you know Tina, you know she doesn't exactly have the conscience for doing things unfairly. So it's eating at her that she's, like, you know, being kind of a meanie, and also, like, that she's, like, playing around with witchcraft. And I think she's, like, at first, like, it's not bothering her, and she's just, like, kind of being, like, a meanie, you know? Meanie feels like a weird word to say, but I've already said it, so I'm just going to go with it. And she's mean to the crosswalk lady, who then also reveals that she's a witch, and then takes Tina's brooch, not brooch, her beret, a beret? The little fucking clip that goes in your hair. And then she starts, like, she starts saying that she cursed Tina, and now Tina's, like, super fucking paranoid. And then, yeah, and then, like, the whole thing was just, like, to fucking be nice, and, like, yeah. It's just, like, such a good episode. Tina's so relatable, and she makes me laugh at how, like, fucking anxious she is, and how she just, like, created this whole mess of anxiety, because she's just that girl. And so it just made me, I really like that episode. So after that, we're now, like, in my top 5. So that was number 4. So my top 3, my third episode would be Full Bars, which is the very first episode that they did for Halloween, season 3, episode 2 of 2012. Yeah, baby. So they live on, I don't know, Staten Island. I really don't know. It's like a meetup area, New Jersey. And then there's, like, an island that's, like, the expensive, like, millionaire island town of, like, the ultra rich people, right? And so they live on this, like, island where you could take a ferry to, and they go there to get full, like, or they hear, like, they're going to go there for, like, good Halloween. The kids decide they want to go trick-or-treating by themselves, that they're big kids now, and they don't want their dad to go, which he's, like, a little sad about. So they think, since they're unsupervised, that they can just, I don't know what I'm saying, get so mean. They're like, we're unsupervised, let's go get on the ferry, and then we'll go to the next town and get, like, the nice, fancy candy. So they do that, and they're doing great. They're getting full-size candy bars. They're freaking out. They're meeting other kids there who are, like, trick-or-treating with them, and they're all, like, you know, they're getting, like, the fancy candies, and the adults are, like, having Halloween drunken parties, and they're living it up. And then one of the local kids starts to get, like, kind of scared because they're pushing it for time, and the sun's going down, and he's getting, like, anxious, and the Belcher kids are like, what's wrong? And they're like, you're not from here, are you? And so they tell them that the big kids, once it gets dark, go around and terrorize trick-or-treaters. They, like, you know, they go on a hell night. And so they, like, just start causing chaos and picking on the kids. And if they're caught out, like, past the curfew or whatever, past, like, sundown, then they, it's like, you know, draw on their faces and steal candy or whatever. Like, they, like, terrorize little kids. So they also have, like, pee-filled balloons. And these teenagers are just, like, starting to, like, come out on the town, and they're getting anxious. And then the ferry has left, and I don't know if they, like, couldn't catch it, and they're trying to hide from these, like, teenagers. And for me, I guess it's, like, really comforting because it's one of the early seasons where the animation was still a little bit different, and the style was just, like, still a little bit different from what it is now. I like what it is now more than, like, season one, but it's, like, that in between where it still feels like the old, like, storytelling vibe from the first. It feels very, like, the first season to me is very deadpan. It's very, like, dry humor, and then it starts to get more, like, lively and family-ish, like, more of a family show, and at first it felt more like Adult Swim, you know what I mean? So, right on that, season three just feels, like, very much still in between, and I really like it, I don't know. And then that was their first Halloween episode, and I just thought, like, they went off with, like, they started off with such a banger, really good episode, and then just, like, so much cult of a cult classic, and just, really enjoyed it. I like the parents in it. Thought that was funny, like, how they're, like, all kind of rich and then drinking and throwing up. And then the kids are out, like, being teenagers. And teenagers are so stupid. And it's very, very funny and very relatable again. Okay, so am I only second or my favorite one? Let me see. I keep, like, my toolbar. Is that the one? No. Yeah, I don't know. Where you have, like, all your windows open, like, for my recording, and then, like, the internet, all that is on the side of my screen and not the bottom, so it's, like, tripping me up right now. Anyway, okay, so I'm on, let's go to my doc. I'm on my second. Yeah, okay, which honestly, no, fits. These two are, like, neck and neck, so my number two of my all-time favorite, like, or ranking the Bob's Burgers episodes for Halloween. Not my all-time favorites because they're all the Halloween ones, except I didn't include the latest one because I haven't seen it yet. So there's that. So number two would, for my top three is, okay, sorry, I got interrupted again, is Apple Gore Chard, like Apple Orchard, the Gore Chard. Okay, that makes more sense. I said charred. Apple Gorchard, but not gory, in parentheses. Season 13, episode 6, and that aired in 2022.
I don't want gory in one of those.
I'm almost done, okay? Okay. Okay, Apple Gorchard from 2022. So this one, I think it's my favorite because I think I personally, I don't know, I need to, like, look at their referencing and do more, like, research than I typically do. I typically just, like, turn the mic on and start talking. But anyway, I'm pretty sure that there's Midsommar references in here. That's what I got the vibe of. Like, Midsommar and then The Wicker Man, which is a 1970 horror movie that I haven't seen, but I have. And then I did look it up, and people were also like, yeah, I haven't seen it. But I just from it being around for so, maybe I have seen it, to be honest, because now that I'm looking at it, I feel like it's very familiar. But it could also just be like me having the internet from a younger age and being into weird shit. So I don't know how much of it is like, how much of folklore I've like looked into already, and then how much of the movie I may have seen without knowing or did know. I feel like I've seen it now that I'm like looking at it. So maybe I have seen it. The Wicker Man horror movie from 1973. Maybe I've seen it. Maybe I've seen it. Anyway, sorry. This episode has to do like a lot. It reminds me a lot of both of those. Did you finish that? All right. So I'm going to read like what I have pulled up, which is from, oh, and I'm referencing this list called, or it's from a website called Bob Credits. Oh, they have a podcast. Do they talk about Bob's Burgers? I'm pretty sure there is a Bob's Burgers podcast out there. Anyway, okay, so I'm referencing a guide to all Bob Burgers Halloween episodes. And then I'm also not I'm just talking, and then I'm also like referencing when I need more context. So anyway, that's where I'm getting this information right here from. Bob Credits is the website, which I will add to the show notes. So it's Halloween, and Louise is on a class field trip to an actual apple orchard with Bob as a chaperone. In an effort to prove how easily it is to be a popular kid at her age, she becomes the hero of the harvest. So like Midsommar vibes, right? Normally this would be right up her alley, but then she discovers a painting that outlines a tragic fate of the hero. Again, Midsommar vibes. Meanwhile, Tina and Jean have high hopes about winning the Wagstaff school costume parade with their Halloween costume themed as the 1996 film Twister, except the costumes like keep falling apart because they were homemade and they were made. I think Linda like talks about how she made it with wine, which is what I should do. I should honestly like go get some wine today and paint. No, I shouldn't like, I don't know why I should. I want some wine, and it's Friday. It's not Friday, but it will be Friday on Halloween after the kids go down, when the kids go down, and maybe I'll have some wine Halloween night. We'll see. My husband is on call, so that kind of sucks because I don't know if he's going to randomly have to leave on Halloween night or if he's going to be home. Whatever. I'm stressing about it. Don't need to be. I love this episode because of the spooky, like, occult and folklore vibes. And, like, it's very Midsommar heavy. And I think that's what they're referencing. So, anyway, love this episode. But my all-time favorite is the first one that actually, like, spooked me, which is so, feels so stupid to say, but I was, like, actually, this was, like, the first one that actually, like, made me feel, like, scared, and I love watching it, and I just love what they did as well. Like, I love the family all together, and then I love how they are as, like, a unit. Okay, so this is season 6, episode, let's see, oh, my phone's ringing. That's a good thing I'm not recording on my phone, because it has been, like, ringing off the hook. I'm getting, like, a bunch of spam calls randomly. I wasn't getting spam calls for a while, and now I'm getting them again, so whatever. Okay, season 6, episode 3, 2015 is when it aired. So, this episode, Louise, like, cannot be scared, and she talks about how, like, she really wishes that she could be scared normally, and, like, how it's so easy for Jean and Tina to be scared, but she just, like, doesn't feel anything, and so, and she's never been, like, spooked, and she craves that, and so, they're talking about that at the restaurant with Mort, the mortician who lives, next door to them, and, so Bob and Linda make it their, like, personal mission to see, I'm reading now, to see that is their daughter gets what she wants, always dreamed of, which is to be scared. A truly legitimate Halloween time scare. So They go out and create what they believe to be a seriously frightening haunted house. Unfortunately, it does not really do the trick for Louise, not until actual spooky things begin to happen to the family as a whole, and they suddenly find themselves living a real life horror movie. So essentially, I'm going to spoil this for you. They tell Louise they want to scare her, you know, and so they like plan this like haunted house, and then the kids like wait in the car for like a minute while they finish getting set up, and then they go through the haunted house. Louise is not scared. It's kind of cheesy, very, very corny, and like Louise is like, can we just leave? And then they like try to leave, and they go outside, and there's a flat tire, and then they're like, well, our tire's flat. And then they pull up to this, like, the haunted house is like this older Victorian small looking house, Victorian looking small house, and it's very like old lady-ish inside still, with like floral wallpapers and like just very like estate sale vibes. And so Louise is like, where'd you even like find this house? Like, did you rent a house? Like, what the hell? Like, what's happening? And so they're like, don't worry about it. And then they decide to leave because like Louise is like, this is lame. And so they're like, oh, okay, we fucked up. Sorry, we failed. And then Louise also does try to like scare them in the process by like making them think that they like ran away. And they're like, man, this was a bust. Like, let's just go. So they go to their car and there's a flat tire, and then they're just like, okay, well, let's go call a tow. And Bob's like super annoyed. And while they're out there like trying to figure out this whole flat tire thing, they don't have cell service, so their cell phones aren't working. And then they notice that there's like an old man with some shears staring at them, like some like trimming shears. And they're like, okay, creepy old man, like, can you back off now? And then Linda's like, okay, like, or is it Linda or Bob? I don't know. One of them is like, hey, okay, this guy's actually freaking me out. Can we go inside? So they go inside, and they're like, they need to call a tow. And they only find like a phone book because their phones aren't working. And they're trying to like figure out which one to call, because the phone book looks like it's from the 90s, and the phone numbers are old. And they have like this old dial phone. What are they called? Rotary? Yeah. And so they're like trying to use that phone. It's not working. And then they hear like this crazy like pipe sounding noise come from the basement. And so they're all freaked out. The lights and electricity get shut off. And at this point, like, everyone's starting to feel like a little creeped out. And so Bob's like, I guess I'll go down to the basement and like figure out what's going on. And they're like, well, don't leave us here. So they all go with him. And he has like his cell phone light, which is like very tiny. And then they hear something groan, like, very eerie, and it sounds like, you know, like an entity, and so they get freaked out, and they're, like, running up the stairs. I'm, like, maybe I'm, like, butchering this because it's been a little bit. I'm, like, just going by memory, but they run upstairs, and when they're running upstairs, they, like, run past this room, and there's, like, a doll sitting on a chair, like a rocking chair, an old rocking chair. What, baby? Oh. So there's like this old porcelain doll, and she's on this wooden rocking chair in a room with like no real other furniture. It's just like, or maybe it does. It's just like creepy old stuff, you know? And this doll has like sticks, branches like coming out of its eyes that were like obviously put there, and it looks like a voodoo-ish, like witchcrafty doll. So they get freaked out, and then they, I think the door starts to rattle. Something starts happening where they're like scared, and then the man from outside is inside now, and he's like he like comes up to them slowly, but it freaks them out. I'm trying to remember from memory, sorry. And they end up locked in the bathroom, and it's really funny because like I think Gene farts, and it's just so cute, like, and scary. And so they're like, okay, this guy's like trying to break down the door Shining style, so like let's get out of here. And the whole time, Linda is in a bald cap, because at one point they were dressed up as like these twins who were like stuck together. I don't know the right term for that right now because I'm not thinking about it. Sorry. And they have their bald caps on. She's still wearing hers, and like she still looks kind of funny. And so they decide to like get out onto the roof to escape this like creepy old man. Oh, and then so they're on the roof and they look out. And there's a bunch of hooded figures, and they have this fire of, like, this cropped circle fire around the house. And it looks like they're starting to, like, have some sort of seance with them, and they're chanting, and it freaks Louise out. And so at that point, the old man is in the bathroom now, and he's at the window that they escaped from, and they're still outside of, but on the roof. Louise turns, sees him, actually freaks out and starts to scream. And at that point, like, her parents snap a picture of her, and then they're like, whoa, calm down, calm down. And she's like, what the hell's going on? And they start, like, they're like, gotcha. And so they had staged this entire thing. So, like, the first haunted house was, like, a fluke, like, a, you know, just, like, a, to trick her. And then the real haunted house was, like, the tire and the electricity in the basement. And so they had, like, it's Mort's mom's house. And the old man with the shears is, like, her boyfriend that she's seeing. And then Teddy's one of the hooded figures that is out on the lawn with Mort's mom and Mort. And so they're all, like, in on it together to, like, get Louise to get scared. She does get scared. It's cute. It's spooky. And it's very, very cozy. It's also just, like, so cute. And I think there's, like, a new Boys for Now song, which is, like, their One Direction playing during this time, and very relatable, again, for all aspects of it. Like, just every part of it is very relatable. The parents, Tina, and Louise, everything. And that was my number one for the Halloween episodes of Bob's Burgers. That was my little countdown. The one that I didn't mention is the one that was this last season, which is called The Twinning, and it has a cover of, like, Twins in a Shining Way, and I haven't seen it yet. So I will go see that and then see where it goes on my list. But that's where we're at right now. Happy Halloween. I hope you have a spooky Halloween, but not too spooky. And I hope you watched these episodes and enjoyed this episode of When the Kids Go Down. Okay, I've got a Halloween costume to fix. Thank you for bearing with me on this episode with the audio. I don't know how it's going to be. First time recording with the computer and this mic, so we'll see how it goes. Anyway, I hope you have a spooky Halloween again, and hope that you enjoyed this episode and watched some Bob's Burgers. I don't know if I already said that. Probably already did. Gotta go. Okay, bye.